In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Reverend Father, dear seminarians, sisters, my dear friends in Christ. In the autumn of 1917, before Our Lady came, did you know that an angel came to get the children ready to see the Blessed Mother? And there were three visits to these three children of Fatima, so that when Our Lady came, they would be prepared and very reverent. Now, through the wonderful kind of a white, clear light of the angel, they could see him. He looked very young, and he was holding in his hand the chalice of the altar, and then the host over the chalice. But then, when they looked at the host, they saw that the host was bleeding red drops of blood into the chalice. And then the angel left the Blessed Sacrament suspended in midair, and as he had done on previous visits, he knelt down profoundly, bowed down to the earth, and he said this prayer that we should try to say every day: Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I adore Thee profoundly. I offer Thee the most precious body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, present really and truly in every tabernacle of the world, in reparation for the countless outrages, sacrileges, and indifferences whereby He is offended. And through the infinite merits of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I beg of Thee the conversion of poor sinners. Now, at the other visits, the angel explained to the children that they should say this prayer often in reparation for the countless outrages, sacrileges, and indifferences committed against the Holy Eucharist. And he said, Children, make reparation to your God and console your God. But this time, then the angel took the chalice and the host, which were still in the air, and he gave the sacred host to Lucia, the little girl, and then he put the chalice to the lips of the other girl, Jacinta, and Francisco, the boy. After the angel disappeared, having said that same prayer three times, bow down to the earth, why, they just stayed that way for a long time, as we should after communion, just adoring and praying. And finally, the first one to speak was the boy, little Francisco, and he said to his cousin Lucia, he said, The angel gave you communion, but what was it that he gave me? He didn't understand. And Lucia said, Oh, he gave you communion too. That was from the chalice. That was the precious blood. And the little boy said, Francisco said, I thought that was our Lord, but I didn't know how. Isn't that interesting? He didn't quite know how. But he knew, of course, that he was receiving our Lord, and he believed. And then they spent the rest of the day until it got dark, and they had to go home with their flocks, just adoring our Lord and thanking Him. By this means, the angel and the Blessed Sacrament prepared the way for Mary to come with the rosary at Fatima. Now, we all know that the Blessed Mother brings us her Son, Jesus Christ. The Mother, in a sense, of course, must come before the Son in the order of nature. And God wills in the order of grace that it should be the same way. We also know that when a mother has a baby, she's all for her child. This mother, Mary, never ceased to be all for her Son. And yet this Son is truly the Son of His mother, and therefore He deigned to send an angel with the Blessed Sacrament in His hands to get everyone ready for the great gospel message of Fatima. I say gospel message because Our Lady just came to remind people about prayer and about penance so that there could be peace. It was the gospel for the 20th century, for modern man. It's a breathtaking thing when you consider the dignity of the mother and when you consider that our Lord comes himself to get people ready to receive her. Think of that. And then consider the humility and the devotion of Jesus, her son, and how much our Lord wants us to love Our Lady. Our Lord is so gracious. He's so courteous. He is so respectful to his mother. Children, there's a good lesson for you and for all of us in that. Now, one of the goals of our 40 hours this year, which takes place during the octave of Our Lady's Nativity, her birthday, is to remember again how close the Son and the Mother are. Jesus and Mary form just one heart. Now, when Our Lady appeared on the 13th of May, the Blessed Sacrament did not disappear. The date that she chose was the feast day, which had been established just a short time before, of Our Lady of the Blessed Sacrament. St. Pius X said that's the most theological of all of the devotion and all the titles that we can have for Our Lady. And he wrote out in his own hand an indulgence for those who would honor Our Lady under that title. So when Our Lady comes, she puts her hands out like this, and then that same light that covered the angel covered the three children, and they fell into a kind of an ecstasy, which means that their souls were lost in God. And then they fell down on the ground to adore our Lord, and they poured out all of their love to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. That's what Our Lady of the Blessed Sacrament did on the 13th of May when she appeared the first time at Fatima. You see how closely they're connected? I want you all to see, to realize that. St. Peter Julian Aymar, the saint of the Blessed Sacrament, says that when our Blessed Mother adored the Sacred Host after our Lord's ascension into heaven, and St. Peter had said the first Mass, she found again the blessed fruit of her womb. She found him whom she had conceived, him to whom she had given birth and taken care of all those years. Our Lady went up with our Lord to Calvary to become our mother, but she came down with our Lord, and she went to the cenacle, and she, in the upper room with the infant church, spent hours and hours of prayer, going to Mass and to Holy Communion and adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. The work that our Blessed Mother has to do for the whole church, and especially for us this weekend, is the work to train us, her children, to accept the reality of the Blessed Sacrament. The flesh that she once gave to him, the flesh that she once nourished, is the flesh that she gives to us and which nourishes us every time we approach to the altar rail. Devotion, reparation to the Holy Eucharist is very much a part of the Fatima message, which means the part of bringing peace to the world and saving many, many souls. And when we do it as part of the Fatima message, it's a bit like putting it under a magnifying glass. You know, a magnifying glass catches the rays of the sun and makes them very powerful, children, so much so that glass could even cause fire to come. And that's what Our Lady's heart does. She makes fire come to our poor, cold hearts. It's because we don't really love our Lord, not nearly enough, that our Lord asks for this reparation, to make up for the sins of others. And that's what we want to do during these 40 hours of prayer, to make up for our own sins and the sins of others. Now, there is quite a bit for which we need to pray. We need to pray for the restoration of the Catholic Church, and we need to pray for peace amongst all those little remnant individuals in groups who are left, who are true Catholics. But at 40 hours, first, we make reparation. We need to get the money, and we need to get the means to finish this beautiful building project of our new church. We need to fill our church with new members of St. Gertrude's to draw them away from the one world religion and back to the true Mass and faith. We need to get a new heart for many old members of St. Gertrude's who perhaps are a little cold or a little distracted in their faith. But what we will do this weekend is to make reparation. We need to pray for the peace and the prosperity of our nation and of the world. Tomorrow is that 9/11 anniversary. We need to pray to be spared God's chastisements as a country, which we richly deserve for our terrible sins. We need to pray for each other's intentions. We all have so much in the way of family and personal needs. But what we will do first is to make reparation. How do you make reparation, children? Well, we make reparation by our vigil. Some men will be taking turns tonight all night long. They won't be going to bed. And they'll be worshiping before our Lord in the sacred host. When you make your visits tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday, you'll be doing the same thing. And when you say your prayers, that's reparation too. We want to make reparation for our own sins and the sins of others against faith, against charity, because simply God is not loved as he ought to be loved. The best way to make reparation is to go to Mass and to receive a devout Holy Communion. This was the heart of the last great apparition of the Fatima series, which took place at Tui in the year 1929. It was the vision of Christ crucified offering to the Eternal Father his own body and blood to make up for sins. And again, Sister Lucy saw that same chalice that she had seen before, and the host over it, and the little drops of blood coming from the host going into the chalice. We need to make reparation by all of these means. Our Lady asks for sacrifices, and you see the sacrifices that you make to be here tonight, when you could just be following your routine or resting after a hard week's work. The sacrifice that many of you make, and many of our faithful do make each week, to ride in a car. I was thinking of Jacinta. You know, Jacinta, that little girl at Fatima, she got very sick. And she offered all that up to our Lord, and for a long time when she could, she would walk to church even though she was sick. And Lucy said to her cousin, she said, Jacinta, you're sick. You shouldn't have to do that, go that far to church on Sunday. It was a long walk. They had no cars back then. And she said, but I want to make reparation for those who don't go to church, not even on Sunday, when they are supposed to. And that is the ideal for us, to do something extra. That's why we have 40 hours. That's why we have adoration each month. That's why we try to have so much extra, to do something in the way of reparation to our Lord, who simply is not loved, not nearly enough. One of the good parts, and we always have to try to see the good part, that not very many adults have come to the opening of 40 hours this evening, is that I reckon that probably about half of the attendants tonight are young people and children. But that's the story of Fatima too, isn't it? Little Francisco, you know, he wore a rope around his waist so that he can do penance. And our Lord doesn't ask anything special like that of us. Just that we do our best for those extra masses, visits, rosaries, and holy communions of reparation. The history of the church is full of children making the difference. I need to count on you, on the altar boys in the sanctuary, the other young people who are here tonight. Today's saint, Nicholas of Tolentino, once was a very loved saint, a great miracle worker. He got his start when he was 11 years old. Think he was 11. He was tonsured and made a canon of the cathedral. And then at about the age of 16 or so, he heard a sermon from a monk about the vanity of the world. He decided he had better become a hermit of St. Augustine. And so he did, and he made his solemn vows for life when he was 18 years old. We need reparation, not only from the old who are getting ready to meet their judge, not only from the middle-aged whose reparation means so much because they are so busy with so many cares and responsibilities. We need reparation, too, from you, the little ones. Won't you give us the example of doing something extra for our Lord these days? I think our Lord and our Lady are counting on you very much. Why are we here? We are here to make reparation. St. Pius X, the saint we had 1 week ago, had this to say when he had 40 hours. Our Lord is our King, and we delight to honor him as our King, whom the world dishonors and disowns. Now we, his subjects, offer our true homage to Christ the King. The warmth of our love shall be greater than the coldness of the world. We meet around the tabernacle where Jesus remains in our midst until the end of time. Their faith springs up anew in our hearts while the fire of his charity, the very fire he came to cast upon the earth, burns within us. The object of this Eucharistic adoration is to make reparation to our Lord for the insults offered him in the Blessed Sacrament, to pray that his thoughts be in our minds, his charity in our institutions, his justice in our laws, his worship in our religion, his life in our lives. We all have so much to pray for during this most powerful of all prayers, the 40 hours prayer. But let us all pray united for this around the altar throne these 3 days. Reparation. Reparation to Jesus and to Mary, to their one holy heart united. And all of these other things will be added unto us. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.